Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet The Amazing Podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be Amazing Podcast. I am so excited that you have joined me today for another episode here on SweatNet. And before we get started to who my guest is, I have two things to share with you. One is I just had an incredible photo shoot with SweatNet in their studio here in Charlotte. If you are looking for photos for social media, for business, for fun, no matter what it is, you can shoot with SweatNet for 1 hour in studio, change outfits as many times as you want, and get this, $99. So don't miss out on this great opportunity. Make sure you email them or DM them on Instagram and go ahead and get your shoot set up and tell them that you heard it on the Be Amazing Podcast so that you get the $99 promo. My next thing I want to tell you about, my friend, my bestie, Leah, and I are now doing episodes weekly called Girl Chat, and we are talking all things fitness, faith, friendship. We've been friends for 12 years. We've been trainers for more than 20, and we're just using this as an opportunity to share our story, invite you to be part of it, ask us questions if you want, and just have fun. So you can find out more about us, and you can listen to our first episode that has just dropped right here on the Be Amazing Podcast. So let's talk about my guest today. Her name is Emily Zimmerman. She is the founder and CEO of Grace Communications. She has over 12 years of experience leading marketing and public relations. But what we really talk about in this episode is her story. She was a competitive runner in high school and college and ended up getting a serious injury, and she had to stop running altogether. And this was a devastating moment for her because her identity was all wrapped up in being a runner. So she shares about how she had to switch her focus and find herself again. So stay tuned for this incredible conversation with Emily. Welcome to the show, Emily. I'm so glad to have you on.
I'm so glad to be here. Yay.
Yeah, this is going to be really fun. It's I learned some new things about you that I can't wait for you to share. But before we talk about that, tell us a little bit about who you are.
So obviously my name's Emily Zimmerman. I am the owner and founder of Grace Communications, but outside of work, I just got engaged. So that's exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, lots of fun stuff. Soon to be a stepmom to my fiance's little girl, Rose. I'm not from here. Sometimes people can hear my Midwest accent, I've been told. I'm from Missouri originally. I grew up around the St. Louis area, lived there till I was about 30, then moved to Chicago, and then work brought me here. My hobbies and kind of like what I do for fun when I'm not working, because work for me is really fun. I love what I do. I love anything outdoors, hiking, nature, anything with animals. I'm obsessed with my pets, my dog Gracie. My agency's not named after her though. That's a whole other story. Everyone assumes that. I'm like, I'm not that crazy about my dog. I mean, I love her, but wouldn't name like my whole business after her. And so I have two dogs and a cat, and love working with like animal rescues and all of that, because it's just near and dear to my heart. And I also love to write. I actually love to sing. So that's kind of a fun fact. I will not sing on this podcast, so don't ask me to. But I do love to sing. I used to do musicals every summer. So
that's why I feel connected to you, because my sister and I both grew up in the performing arts. Now, granted, I did not sing by any stretch, but dance and performing and being in school musicals, and we watched all the musicals growing up. Like, that's what we spent most of our time doing.
Yeah, I loved all the old Gene Kelly movies. Did you watch those? Like Singing in the Rain, everything?
Oh, of course. Yes. 100%. We were all about that. There, some of my favorite movies were musicals. And then I remember going, my sister and I, when we went to New York and we got to see a live Broadway, that was like amazing.
Yeah.
We got to see 42nd Street live, and that was just like incredible. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think we had a similar upbringing, it sounds like, because that was our thing. And this was way back, like, you know, when cassette tapes and like, I don't even know if DVDs were there, but my dad actually, in the summers, he would go to the library and pick up musicals. from like the St. Louis Public Library, and I'd be like, okay, Dad, like I really want to see this one, or you know, try to find one with like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, because I love watching them dance. And like, so I watched, I think one summer we probably watched like every classic musical, well, that the library had. So good times.
That's awesome. I can so relate to that. Well, I want to talk about your whole growing up as an athlete, because I had known you, I guess, for at least a year or so before I even knew that you were an athlete at one point. So I want to really start with that. And you ran. So that was like what your sport was. You were a runner.
Yes.
When did all that start for you?
Well, really, really young. So I was the youngest in a family of four. And I always looked up to my sisters and my brother, and they were all in sports. My sisters ran cross country and track in high school. So I remember just wanting to be just like them. And so my mom would like take them to practice and then she would run. So I just kind of like tagged along. I was 8 years old when I started running. I wouldn't say like competitively. I think it was the next year I started actually doing races, but I don't know. I went from hating it. I actually used to hate running. I remember when I was seven, it was like a punishment, like go run a lap around the yard or whatever. And then something clicked and I just loved it. And I had this Olympic videotape. I watched a lot of movies apparently as a child, but it was like about, I forget what year Olympics. And I probably watched that thing almost every day because kids watch things over and over again. And I thought I wanted to go to the Olympics. That was my first dream. I told all my teachers and I remember them being like, oh, that's so awesome. But I started, I joined this little league track club called the Blazers. And I had my first amazing coach named Blair Porter. And he actually ran to our practices. So I remember my parents like driving me and we'd see Blair like almost there. I'm like, did he run like 20 miles to practice? He was just the most high energy, really cool guy. And he had this thing called faith running. And I still think about it sometimes. And it's where at the end of every practice, we had to close our eyes and he made us run with our eyes closed. And it was so that we like would trust our feet and kind of like stop overthinking stuff, I guess. And that was just so neat. I still think about that sometimes, like how cool of a coach he was and like how much, I mean, there's probably some life lessons I could relate to that too. But I really got the running bug. I actually set the mile record in fourth grade at Sherwood Elementary School in Arnold, Missouri. And I think it's still standing. I ran a 6:44 mile in fourth grade, which is apparently pretty fast for that age. And I also wrestled when I was in fourth grade. I was a female wrestler, not like WWF, but like, you know, real wrestling. My brother wrestled in college and was like really good at it. So like I said, I just wanted to be like my siblings. So I kind of tried to do everything like them. But I kept getting more and more into running. And by the end of elementary school, I started competing in road races, like local road races. And I won my first age group one when I was in fifth or sixth grade. And then I progressively like got faster and better. And I started winning overall for women in road races, like in the St. Louis, like Jefferson County area. Then in high school, I feel like I kind of like, I don't know if I didn't handle the pressure, but I never did well at state. I always like peaked too soon. I couldn't quite get my training right. I would always make it to state, but I could never, like I buckled under the pressure. I feel like now I wouldn't have done that. I have more confidence and I would have been like not scared. But it really took probably until my mom actually took me out of school. This is a weird story, but I went to college early and then I walked on to SEMO's track and cross country team and their division one team. And that's really where I feel like I got my confidence. And I actually started performing better at the conference meets, which were, you know, those are like the state of high school. But something with that coach, she just, you know, it's all about that. I feel like coaches make such a difference, and she just got me. She helped me with my confidence, and her training style was less mileage and more like quality training, like intervals, weightlifting. That's where I really got into strength training, because I've never been the skinniest runner. I've been a really strong runner, because you see a lot of them and they're, you know, stick thin. Even when I was like 103 pounds, I was 103 pounds of like pure muscle. So it was, she just like knew her way of training, just, it was just so resonated with me. And that's where I feel like, you know, I broke 20 minutes in the 5K, and I broke 6 minutes for, you know, I was running 5 minute miles, like, and it just like, it was so awesome. But then she left. My sophomore year, we got another coach, and he was a marathon runner. That was his background. And he had us running 60, 70 miles a week. And my body just didn't work with that. So I got hurt really bad. And that's actually when I stopped being super competitive with running. I just kind of lost my love for it, quite honestly.
Well, it's amazing going back to what you said about coaches, because coaches do, I really, they play such a big role, not just with athletes, but life in general. If you have a coach, like, yeah, you know, there's something about if you're connected to the right one, and right, you know, like you said, the type of training, like you, it, she, yeah, met you right where you were at, and yeah, like was able to take you to the next level. And then, yeah, you go with another coach and it's a completely, you know, flips. So I really think that's interesting, because that does very much what a coach does. And I know I've had coaches in my life that have impacted me and yeah, have been able to push me. And then I've had other people, you know, other coaches that, you know, it just, for whatever reason, just didn't do the same thing. So yeah,
no, completely. And I honestly, like, this is the first time I think I actually like realized that my first coach, like Blair Porter, I think he's why I loved running so much, because he was such a cool person and he made it so fun and inspirational. I mean, that's the cool thing. If you're a coach, you can really like change someone's lives, you know, if you connect with them in that way. So it's pretty powerful.
It is. It's awesome. Well, so you, so after basically getting hurt and injured,
yeah,
you had to lay that down and walk away from it. And I know that you carried we talked about, like, you know, the identity of like, you know, being a runner, and that was your thing. And then all of a sudden you're not able to do it anymore. You know, what was that like for you to try to reinvent yourself or find, yeah, what the next thing would be?
Well, it was pretty heartbreaking. I mean, I really at one point thought I'd go to the Olympics. That was like my dream. And, my identity was really wrapped up in performing with running and just that sense of accomplishment and setting goals and everything. But I will say I always had other interests. Like, I did musicals and I did sing, and I had a full academic scholarship too. So like I think I leaned on those other interests. And that was also when I used to be like, why can't I just focus on running and just be like the best runner ever? And because I knew I was, every time I did other things, I was taking away from like training more. But that's when it kind of hit me. It was kind of a good thing that I was a little more well-rounded, because when I did get hurt, it was devastating, but I had other things that didn't rely on my physical performance. So that was pretty huge. And I think that was also where I got mentally strong with running, but especially once I had to go through that, I think I learned like how to adapt and how to kind of like take getting really good at one thing and how you can take that and do it for other things too. And that's that whole like athletic mindset that I feel like is such a huge part of why I've been able to be successful in a lot of other avenues. And also what I bring to the table with helping clients and stuff like that. So I don't know if that explains it, but,
well, it just shows resiliency, like, you know, and being able to come back and then take, like you just said, take what you've learned,
yeah,
through the athletics and applying that to what you're doing now.
Yeah, it's
that's
not
what it's all about,
you know, cause I think a lot of times, like when something ends, you can just wallow in that, like, oh, it's done, it's over. And I definitely had moments where I was just really depressed because you put so much time, so much sacrifice. I mean, how many cheeseburgers I wanted to eat, you know, and like, you just like everything you eat, everything you do is so structured. And so just you live and breathe that sport. It kind of, you can feel like it was for nothing, you know, that's how you can feel in a moment. But then you have to say, no, it wasn't for nothing. I learned so much. And I think that's why I am really good at motivating other people too, because you have to be so self-motivated that then you learn how to kind of share that with other people. And the things that the, you know, structured lifestyle and the goal setting and scheduling and just everything I had to do to be a good long distance runner, I do every day still, you know. And I think it's really neat when you can kind of take that and use it in other parts of your life, don't just wallow in something ending. That's just
well, and I think that's great advice, because I had actually, my next question for you was gonna, you know, what would you say to someone that's actually in that place right now, where they might be struggling to with their identity because they've had it wrapped up in something for so long.
Yeah.
And you know, how to kind of pull themselves out of that funk.
Well, here's what I tell myself. Anytime something doesn't go how I want it to go, which is just all, you know, all the time. I give myself one day to be sad about it. That's it. One day I can cry. I can throw a little fit if I want to. And then I have to say, okay, what did I learn from this? And I try to come up with all the things I learned from it. And I try to think of opportunities from that. So that would be my advice. I think it's not good to not grieve a little bit. You know, if you lose something, if you just like push it all down, it's going to come out probably not in the best ways. But I do truly believe in any situation you can learn from it. It's not just that, not a cliche thing, but like, I think there's always an opportunity there. So call me an opportunist. I don't know. But I always look for opportunity in something that could be tragic. So that's my advice. That's what I would say.
It's like, and that's the, you know, the positive spin on it. And, you know, finding that bright spot in the middle of all the, what might seem negative and dark, being able to find that. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Well, let's talk about what your favorite workout and activity is right now.
So I still love to run. I still run almost every day. I like to do treadmill workouts because I enjoy listening to my music. And sometimes I'll do like incline, like interval stuff and watch Netflix and strength training and hiking. So that's typically, I try to do 2 or 3 days a week of strength training. And then I try to do like about 4 to 5 days of running or some kind of like aerobic activity. So that's pretty much my go-to. It's not too exciting, but it keeps the stress away for the most part.
I love it. I love running because it clears my head. I was telling somebody that the other day, I was like, it's a great workout, but it's more about clearing my head at this point than it is about anything else. It helps me kind of bring things back into perspective.
Yeah.
And it's when I listen to like, you know, podcasts or, you know, something to kind of feed my mind at the same time. So, yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
I, actually like some of my clients, like Suzanne, who you've taught, I know you've bonded with Suzanne. She'll give me something to like brainstorm. I'm like, just let me run on it. I'll get back to you. So I literally go on like a long run and then I'm like, I don't try to force it. It just comes to me and I'm like, oh, okay. I got it. You know,
I like what you just said. Let me run on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah. Don't let me ruminate on it. I'm going to run on it.
Right. I love that. I'll get back to you. So you said music. So what is a favorite song on your playlist, or is there a must listen song every time you go out to run?
So again, I might surprise people. I like super angry music when I run. I like Pearl Jam and, Seether, Chevelle, and then The Weeknd. I like hip hop, but I like country too. I kind of mix it up, but like when I'm really like interval workouts, I like the hardcore, little old school alternative music is my favorite.
Right on. The angry music does surprise me.
Yeah. I just let it all out. That's just, you know, when I do my really like interval, like intense workouts, I feel like you sweat it and run it all out. And then afterwards you just get that great runner's high. It's awesome.
Yeah. There's something to be said for that. Oh, that's so great. Well, before we like wrap things up, is there anything else on your heart that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to speak about running and kind of my journey with it and, you know, like overcoming like identity crisis in a way when you lose something is because I think a lot of business owners and a lot of people right now with COVID and the pandemic and stuff are going through a lot of changes like that. You may have lost your business or lost something or, you know, be in some kind of transition phase in your life. And I think it's similar to how I felt when I lost running or when I lost my job before I started my business, you know, or right when COVID hit and events were all gone and I had to like bounce back. And I just, you know, I guess I just want to kind of put that out there in the world. Like if you're going through something like that and you're feeling kind of like, oh man, things are not going how I planned. Things just happen, you know, things are going to always happen that you can't necessarily control, but it's how you deal with it that matters. You can always adapt. You can always bounce back. It's not easy, but I think if you have that mindset, you don't have to be an ex Division I athlete or whatever. You can develop that mindset no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you've done. You can have that. And I think that's kind of what I would hope people will get out of this, that, you know, it's never too late to develop that. And it's really going to only benefit you and everyone around you if you have that.
That's awesome. Well, I so appreciate you being on today and sharing your heart and sharing some insight into who you are outside of, you know, what you do in your, you know, in your full-time business. But the fact that, you know, it always goes to show you never know where somebody came from or what, you know, what they've been through in their life. And I knew that we had connected and I knew that you were into fitness, but I just didn't know like your history with it till we started talking. And
yeah,
I just appreciate you sharing like, you know, really from start to finish with it, you know, how you started running and how that really being an athlete has transitioned into what you're doing now. And it's really amazing. So thank you.
Thank you for having me on here. I think the world of you and I'm honored to have been able to be on here.
Well, I can't wait to share it.
Yay.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.